And there's a young man here this evening who he and I goes back a long way. And it takes good singing to satisfy him. And I'm sure you all know him. His name's Ben Carson. All right, Ben. And Ben's given me the thumbs up to say the sound was good. So there you are, folks. You get 10 out of 10. And it's lovely to be here this evening. And it's lovely to be part of your Harvest Weekend. On behalf of Tracy and myself, I want to just let you all know how much we have enjoyed our fellowship with you here today. And also, it has been a blessing for me to know fellowship with your new pastor here. And he and I are looking forward to fellowship in days to come. And we trust that the Lord will continue to bless him and his wife and family as they minister among you here as well. I also want to thank Colin and Beverly for having us for hospitality this afternoon. We've had hospitality in the Emerson home. You never leave it hungry, I can assure you. And also to have fellowship with Norrie. Norrie is one of them men who's an inspiration to us all. And we do indeed thank the Emerson family. And thank everyone, and thanks for the fellowship here, for having us along on this, your Harvest Weekend. Now, before we open God's Word, let's still our hearts and ask the Lord this evening to really speak to us in a very clear and in a very powerful way. Our Heavenly Father, before we go any further, we just bow ourselves in Thy presence again and we pray that, Lord, publicly we want to just simply say tonight that what we are about to open, we believe it to be the inspired and the infallible Word of God. And Lord, as we open now to the sacred page, we pray this evening that Thou will illuminate the very page. And Lord, I pray tonight that Your Word will go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction of sin. And Lord, drawing sinners to the cross. And Lord, drawing sinners to saving faith in the only one true Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am trusting Thee for power, for Thy power that cannot fail. And this Word that Thou hast given to me shall and must prevail. And Lord, I just leave myself into Thy hands right now in that name that is above all other names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew, please, this evening. And we're in chapter number 13. And this evening we come to one of these great parables that the Lord Jesus Christ preaches and teaches. You know, that's one thing I love about the Lord Jesus when He taught. He taught a simple message. Didn't teach or preach away above people's heads. The Lord Jesus preached a message that the ordinary 5'8" could understand. The ordinary person in the street could understand. You know, tonight as we come to this parable, we come to a message that is very relevant for tonight, but with it there's a great spiritual message. Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Down at verse 37, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares that are gathered and burned in the fire, and so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom, out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now my text for this evening is the opening words of verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. Let both grow together until the harvest. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious truth tonight. In this simple parable, we see two seasons, we see two sowers, and we see two seeds. We see two extremes. Oh, there's two extremes. But there's only one expectation. And that expectation is in my text this evening. Let both grow together until, get this, until the harvest. The time expected. Let both grow together until the harvest. There's two things I just want to simply bring before you tonight as the Lord leads and as the Lord has given. And the first thought I want you to take into your mind tonight, the certainty of the harvest. The certainty of the harvest. What is harvest? Harvest is a time of reaping. It's a time of reaping what you have sown. The law of the harvest is this: whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I remember doing a wee assembly in Breckney West Primary School a couple of years ago. And I remember speaking to the boys and girls, and I said to the boys and girls, if I sow carrot seed in the springtime, what will I have in the harvest time? Of course, the hands goes up, and the wee children says, carrots. I says, very good. If I sow lettuce in the springtime, what do you think I'll get in the harvest time? And again, the wee hands goes up, we'll have lettuce in the harvest time. Very good. And then I happen to just say, if I grow, sow potato seed in the springtime, what will I get in the harvest? And this wee boy in the front row put his hand up like a shot. He says, spuds. And I happened to just say to him, and he's just a typical wee farmer's son, you know, spuds. And I says, son, I'm quite glad you said that, because believe it or not, I believe spuds and butter tastes far nicer than potatoes and butter. I do. I'm a wee bit like Hugo Duncan. There's nothing like a plate of spuds and butter with a wee bit of pepper on it. And you know, friends, this evening, the harvest is a time of reaping what we've sown. It's a gathering in of what we've scattered out. And I want you to notice in verse 24, I want you to notice that it's springtime in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. You see, in verse 24, it's springtime. It's the time of sowing. And you know, when you're sowing seed, it seems that the harvest is a long way off. When I was a wee nipper, that's only gone back a few years or two, in those days, farmers worked. There was none of this sitting in four-wheel drive tractors, listening to Hugo Duncan and driving up and down. No, in those days, if you were sowing, I remember going to Granny's, and there was nothing like going to Granny's in the springtime. And I remember yet dropping potatoes, up, walking up and down. Did you ever drop potatoes, brother? You didn't. Oh, you never worked. You never worked. And we used to walk up and down like this all day, sowing the seed potato up and down the drills like this here. And it took you all day to sow. And it nearly took you 2 days to straighten back up again. But you know, in the springtime, the harvest season was so far away. You had the whole summer to go through before you reached the harvest time. It seems so far away, folks. And you know, young people, I want to talk to you young people. It's good to see the young people here tonight. I want you young people to know you are in the springtime of life. You are in the springtime of life. And you may think of days as I did when I was your age. Think of days that I thought I would never see. One of those days that I thought would never come was the day when I would finally leave school. Oh, I know school's different nowadays. The teachers are young and they're kind and they're lovely. In our day at school, our teachers were cross. They were old. We had teachers as old as 40. Old and cross. And I remember, you know, I went to Auchnacloy College. It wasn't called Auchnacloy College in those days. It was called Auchnacloy Colditz. I wasn't there as a pupil. I felt more like a prisoner of war. And all I lived for was the 3 o'clock bell. And I thought the day would never come when I would leave school. But I'll never forget the day when I took my school bag and I said to Mr. McCrum, the vice principal, and I heeled the books out onto the test table. He says, "Mr. McCrum, that's me finished with school." And he says to me, "Are you not coming back next year to do your GCSEs?" He says, "Indeed, I'm not. I'm away to Derek Loans to do out petrol and patch wheels." He says, "There's no money been made sitting at desks reading books." So I left school. And then I think I've maybe told you this story. I went home with my empty school bag. And I went to the coal house, and there was a spade, and I took the spade, and I took my school bag, and I went down to the bottom of the garden, and I dug a lovely wee grave. It was a Sadducee's grave, because their school bag was never going to be resurrected again. But wait till I tell you, it came. That day came, and then the next thing was, I wonder what it'll be like when I hit that age, when I get the wee blue license. You remember the wee blue license that you used to get, the pass your driving test? Ach, I wonder what kind of a car I'll get. And you have this dream, you know, maybe a Ferrari, maybe a Ford Capri. I ended up with a wee Chrysler Sunbeam. A great wee car it was, until I lapped it round a telegraph pole. And you know, that day came too. And then you think about maybe a thought about, as we all men do, wonder what kind of a wife I'll get. Aye, now that's interesting. She'd need to be good looking, for I'm a good looking guy. And then, of course, you know, you wonder, and then you finally meet her, you fall in love, and there you are. And then you say to yourself, I wonder what children I would have. Will I have one? Will I have two? Will I have half a dozen? Maybe a couple of dozen? We don't know. But you know, folks, then we children came. They grew up now, and both of them are now married. And then I often wondered, what about grandchildren? And now my son, he's made me a granda. I say, grandas are getting younger looking now, aren't they? But you never think, them days come, but they do. I was standing singing here that second hymn tonight. Would you believe it that it's 10 years ago this month, 10 years, when I done the 5 special gospel Sunday nights for Brother Dennis when he was here. 10 years. And I was looking down this row, and I can tell you in my mind's eye, I can see faces that were there that night. But they're not here tonight. And I just have to look at the organ. Aye, and there's been a big change since that year too. Stephen has been called home. Will I tell you, friends, there'll be bigger changes in the next 10 years if the Lord tarries. What does the Bible say? What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. You young people tonight, don't be a wee bit afraid to stick up your hand here. Is any boy or girl here who's 14? Anybody here 14? Nobody here 14? The reason why I ask you if there's anybody here 14 years of age tonight, the reason is, the first coffin I ever carried, there's things you'll do in life for the first time you'll never forget. Well, that's one of them. The first coffin I ever carried on my shoulder was that shoulder, and the age of the person inside the coffin was 14. Hadn't a long summer. And friend, listen. That's why tonight I plead with you to come to Christ tonight, because there's a harvest day coming. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And you see, the Lord Jesus paints this wonderful picture of two seeds. And there's the wheat and there's the tares. And there's only two types of crops, not three or four here. There's only two types. There's the wheat and there's the tares. And there's only two types of people in this world tonight. Saved, lost. That's it. Saved. Lost. Tell me which of the two paints you tonight. Are you saved? Or are you lost? And friend, I want you to know tonight, if you're not saved, there's a day of reaping coming very soon. And you need to repent of your sin and trust the Savior. Friend, tonight, every one of us was born into this world, not as Baptists, not as Protestants, not as Unionists. We were born into this world as sinners. Get that tonight. I'm sick and I'm tired of this label and that label and the other label. We need to get rid of the labels. Born as sinners. That's what Romans 3 and 9 says. All under sin. All under sin tonight. And my friend, if you've never been to the cross, if you've never come in repentance of your sin, but you have to come in repentance. No repentance, no salvation. I'm sorry. And come in repentance. And come as a poor, broken sinner to the foot of that old rugged cross. And see the bleeding, dying form of one who was dying there for you, who bore your sin in his own body upon the tree. The one tonight upon whom the very floodgates of God's wrath was opened against. And the very judgment of God fell upon him, the sacrificial Lamb of God, so that you and me could go free tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And tonight, as I plead from this very pulpit, tonight to you that's unsaved, I want you to know there's a Savior who loves you. I want you to know there's a Savior who died for you. And I want you to know there's a Savior who can save you tonight. Because on Calvary's cross, he died for you. Yes, but let me take you to another place. It's the empty tomb tonight. And I want you to know there's a Savior who lives for you tonight. Glory to God. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I'm not here to talk about religion. I'm here to talk about salvation. And salvation is in Christ tonight. The Bible says we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Oh, yes, we all have sinned. Don't tell me you haven't. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Oh, we're all sinners tonight. But praise God for the precious blood that was shed that day on Calvary's cross. That precious blood that cleanseth from all sin is the answer for the sin-sick soul. Him, by his own blood, entered in once, just once, to the holy place. And there he obtained an eternal redemption for us. Oh, friend, tonight, friend, wait till I tell you this. There's the certainty of the harvest. And tell me this. Are you in the field as the wheat tonight? Are you in the field as the tares tonight? The certainty of the harvest. And that's why God's word teaches us tonight we're all to prepare to meet God. For we all must needs die. And someday, the sickle of death will come, cold as it is, will come, and remove you from the scene of time. And where will you be in eternity? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because it's only the blood of the Lamb that counts. And then I want to talk about the clarity of the harvest. It's a time of reaping, it's a time of separating. Let both grow together until. In Luke 16, we see two men. Both men had something in common. They lived and they died. But there's something tonight one had that the other hadn't. Lazarus, the poor beggar, was the man tonight who had salvation and had Christ. And then you have the rich man who had all his riches but hadn't Christ. The man who had nothing in time had everything for eternity. And the man who had everything for time had nothing when it came to eternity. And I just simply want to ask a simple question tonight. Where will the harvest leave you? The tares were gathered up and burned, but the wheat was gathered up and brought in to the barn. And as the old hymn says, friends, the old hymn, hard to beat the old hymns. Many summers you have wasted. Many harvests you have seen. Yet you linger in your sin. None of us knows when our time on this life, on this earth, will end. None of us. And let me say tonight, there is more to death than just dying. And there's one thing about dying, unlike many things, you only get one go at it. You only get one go at dying. And you need to get it right first time. Young person, hard as this may seem for you to take, you're not guaranteed, and there's no guarantee to live a long life. For every one of us in this meeting tonight, there's not one of us guaranteed tomorrow. And that's why the Word of God stresses, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say to me, George, what do I need to do? Well, I'll tell you what you need to do in simple language. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And I wonder tonight, has God been speaking? You've been thinking about these things long before this service started. Maybe in the last week or two, you've been thinking about death, you've been thinking about dying, and you've been thinking about God and what happens. I can tell you, you know what has been happening to you? You know why you're thinking? The Holy Spirit is striving with you. And he has saw to it that he would bring you to this meeting to hear the truth of God's great salvation. And I want you to be wise tonight. Remember, you're on this earth until the harvest. And tonight, it is time to seek the Lord. Let's bear in a wee word of prayer together. Lord, tonight we believe that you have been speaking. And Lord, I just leave now the eternal matters of this service into thy divine hand. and that, Lord, you will be pleased to save for thy glory and for thy dear name's sake. Amen. Our closing hymn tonight is Almost Persuaded Now to Believe, Almost Persuaded Christ to Receive. I wonder, is that you tonight? I pray it's not you. I pray you're not almost, but altogether. During the singing of this hymn, I'm going to just make my way down to the door. The pastor will close in prayer. And if anybody wants to come and speak to Johnny or myself, come and see us. We're the easiest people to talk to. I might shout a wee bit up here, but I am a gentle giant to come and speak to you. Will you do that? Don't go home tonight. Get this settled. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It's time to seek the Lord.